Southern FM.
The sounds of the Bayside.
And now we're going to turn back time.
If I could turn back time, if I could find a way, baby.
In July of 1969, there was a race in space. It was obvious that the Soviet Union was not going to be able to put a man on the moon before the United States. But the Soviets saw an opportunity to gazump the Americans with one prize. They could be the first to bring a sample to Earth of the lunar soil, or regolith. Not by a man picking up rocks, but by an automated lander scooping up loose soil and pebbles and then rocketing back to Earth. Their first attempt came on 1969, June the 14th, when a proton rocket carrying a 5,600-kilogram lunar E85 number 402 lifted off from the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan. The Block D upper stage failed to ignite, and so it and the Luna fell back to Earth. On the 13th of July, another attempt began. This time, the Proton rocket and its upper stage worked and placed Luna E8-5, number 401, on a trajectory towards the Moon. It was promptly announced to the world as Luna 15. On July 16, Apollo 11 was launched towards the moon from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. On July 17, Luna 15 successfully entered orbit around the moon. On July 19, Apollo 11 went into lunar orbit and next day landed on the moon. During a 2.5-hour extravehicular activity, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin collected 21.5 kilograms of rock and regolith. Meanwhile, Luna 15 began its descent to the moon but crashed on July 21 at 15:51 Universal Time. The Apollo 11 Lunar Module Eagle lifted off 2 hours later and at 21:35 docked with the Command Module Columbia in lunar orbit. Columbia left lunar orbit on July the 22nd at 4:55 and splashed down in the Pacific Ocean on July 24. Had Luna 15 not crashed, it could have rapidly scooped up its samples and quickly departed the moon. Because its planned trajectory was a direct ascent towards the Earth, it could have beaten Apollo 11's return because the astronauts spent 7 hours in lunar orbit. The Soviets made three more attempts to get lunar samples in 1969 and 1970. Two of them reached Earth orbit but failed to reach escape velocity and head off towards the moon. The third did not even reach Earth orbit. And so we come to 55 years ago last Friday when Luna 16 was launched. On 1970, September the 12th, another of the failure-prone proton rockets left Baikonur. This time, all went as planned. On September 17, Luna 16 entered lunar orbit, and 36 orbits later, on September the 20th, it landed on the Sea of Fertility, just south of the lunar equator. During its 26 hours on the moon, Luna 16 collected 101 grams of soil. During the return journey to Earth, Radio Moscow came alive with reports. First, a description of how the sample was autonomously collected.
The moon, where it made a soft landing, it's bringing back samples of lunar rock. How this unique operation was performed is described in the national daily Pravda. Here's an abridged version of the story. The Luna 16 posed a series of complex problems. Several questions had to be solved in order to build a device for boring into the moon's surface and taking samples without the help of human beings. What kind of rock would the station find? If it wasn't too hard, it could be shoveled up from quite some depth by an excavator, as on Earth. But if the rock was too hard, on Earth, such rock is obtained by drilling or blasting, which breaks up so it can be scooped up. An explosion, however, would wreck the natural state of the samples and modify their chemical composition, thus diminishing the value of the whole experiment. A comprehensive, profound analysis of the explosion led scientists to the conclusion that a device could be built answering to practically all of the above requirements. It was decided to make an automatic device that would bore the hole and pick up either loose earth or rock as hard as basalt. The samples were to be taken both from the surface and from a certain depth in the shape of a column of rock. Such columns are bored in the rock of the earth. The idea was to do the same on the moon, but a single device would have to pick up loose earth too. There were no such devices. Designs had to be made for a machine to do opposing jobs. The machine was finally built. The space vehicle itself had to be built so that the booster rocket for the return trip would be in the upper part where the brake and soft landing equipment are situated. This meant that the apparatus would stand quite high above the moon's surface, so the rock would have to be scooped up and loaded at a certain height. But first the landing would have to be made. Since there are no landing pads on the moon, it was hard to foresee how the return takeoff would be affected. Big and small rocks and craters might interfere. All this had to be taken into account when choosing a spot of the greatest geological value combined with easy access to rock samples. The sample obtaining device is built for a wide range of conditions and removed from the landing engine's escape tubes. When the rock was placed in the probe and sealed, everything in the way of ballast had to be discarded, so that the rocket could start back to Earth unhindered. All the operations were performed automatically from the Earth. Information coming in from the moon was steadily processed, and the control group was in constant touch with development. The intricate, highly complex work of bringing lunar rocks to Earth in an unmanned probe has been accomplished successfully.
This has been News Channel 5 Music, a daily half-hour program from Radio Moscow.
And Radio Moscow called in specialists to explain the mission.
Has successfully solved a major scientific problem. It landed on the moon, took rock samples, and is now on its way back to Earth. To comment on this unique experiment, here is the astronomer Dr. Viktor Kamalov.
Значение этого полета выходит далеко за пределы просто очередного космического эксперимента. Это событие чрезвычайно важного, принципиального значения. Как известно, начало изучения освоения...
The significance of this flight goes far beyond the bounds of just an ordinary space experiment. It is a very important development and a milestone in space research, says Dr. Kamalov. The study and exploration of the moon, with the help of space vehicles, you will remember, began back in 1969. That year, the Soviet Luna 2 was the first in the history of space research to reach the lunar surface, while another probe orbited the moon and took pictures of its invisible side. In 1966, Luna 9 made a soft landing of the moon, and a short while later, another lunar probe became the moon's first artificial satellite. The unique data obtained by lunar probes are far more significant than the total of man's knowledge of the moon and its surface prior to the space age. Apart from general scientific importance, the data on the hardness of the lunar surface were used to prepare the Apollo 11 and Apollo 12 missions. The American crews completed various studies of the lunar surface. As a result of all this work, scientists now have extensive and varied information about the moon. It may be expected that future moon exploration will follow two courses, that of launching automatic vehicles and of obtaining information by cosmonauts. However, at the current stage, the decisive role in this exploration definitely belongs to automatic probes, Such research is sufficiently reliable and safe. Automatic probes can carry more scientific devices than manned vehicles. This crew and life-maintaining system make for practically the entire payload. Moreover, to launch an automatic probe is much cheaper than to send a manned vehicle. This point is very important, since a space research program should involve comparison of data received in different fields of exploration, and this in its turn calls for a greater number of space tests. The flight of Luna 16 is an important development in the history of space exploration and demonstrates the high standards of Soviet space engineering and the possibilities of Soviet science in general, says Dr. Komarov in conclusion. That was Dr. Viktor Komarov, the astronomer, commenting on the flight of the Soviet lunar probe Luna 16. This is Radio Moscow.
That comment by Komarov that unmanned probes were safer than the American manned Apollo missions was pushed hard by Radio Moscow's commentary. Well, as Luna 16 approached the Earth, Radio Moscow revealed the planned landing time and place.
The Soviet lunar probe, returning to Earth with rock samples from the moon, is expected to arrive on target at 8:20 a.m. Moscow time tomorrow. The landing point is in Kazakhstan, the republic east of the Caspian Sea.
After the successful recovery of the capsule and its samples on September the 24th, the Soviets were loudly proclaiming the success.
Space agency has issued a statement on the results of the Luna 16 flight. It says the probe carried out its mission of lunar and near-lunar exploration in full. For the first time ever, an automatic vehicle delivered samples of moon rock to Earth. These samples have now been brought to Moscow and extracted from the container in special sterile conditions. After quarantine, they will be handed over to various institutes of the Academy of Sciences for studies. The first statement recapitulates the main stages of the Luna 16 flight. It was launched on the 12th of this month and soft landed on the moon on the 20th. After the samples had been taken, a space rocket with them took off from the moon on the 21st. On Thursday, the 24th, the vehicle soft landed in Kazakhstan in the Soviet Union, 50 miles southeast of the town of Jerzkazgan.
A few days later, the sample container had been opened and we were provided with a description of its contents.
Meanwhile, at the Soviet Academy of Sciences, research workers have begun analyzing the samples of lunar soil. The airtight container in which the samples were brought back to Earth was placed in a steel tank with transparent windows. The air had been evacuated from the tank and replaced with helium, which is an inert gas. The container with the moon soil was opened in the presence of the chief designer of the rocket. The moon soil was found to be a loose brownish-gray powder. In one place, it contained a cluster of fine crystals. When the lunar soil was illuminated with electric lights, it had a steel gray and greenish glitter. An Academy spokesman said that the scientists were eagerly awaiting the results of the chemical analysis of the sample. This, he said, may throw new light on the moon's geological structure and many other problems.
In succeeding years, a mix of unsuccessful and two successful sample return missions were carried out. And that's our look back in time.